Welcome to Just a Minute. It's Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many listeners we have, not only in this country, but of course throughout the world, but also a huge pleasure to welcome to the show the four distinguished, distinctive, and determined players of the game. And it's always a pleasure to welcome back that outstanding player and that amazing comedian, Paul Merton. And sitting beside him on my right is our veteran player of the game who has such ingenious and provocative ways of interpreting the rules, that is Clement Freud. And seated on my left, we have that engaging and delightful and charming comedian, Linda Smith. And sitting beside her, someone we welcome back after quite a long absence, that lyricist, writer, and great cabaret performer, Kit Hesketh-Hart. Would you please welcome all four of them? I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And sitting beside me is Janet Staplehurst. She's going to help me and make a note of the score, and she'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Rex Cinema, which is a beautiful little bijou Art Deco cinema which has been revived only recently in that delightful town of Berkhamsted in Hertfordshire. And we have a delightful bijou Art Deco audience here. Welcome us to the first live show they've done since it was resurrected as a cinema when it's since 1988. So we're going to launch the cinema today as we launch into Just a Minute with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is how to attract someone's attention. 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Yes, didn't you hear me?
No, I'm sorry, what was the subject? Sorry, I was miles away. Sorry, Nicholas, what were you saying?
Right, sorry. Did I send you to sleep? Sorry.
No.
Right, there we are. So we'll start with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject is how to attract someone's attention.
Is it you talking to me again?
It's very difficult, Paul, isn't it? Yes. Isn't it? Give him a bonus point to start with. All right, a bonus point then. Well played, Paul. You've got to laugh like that. But now would you try and talk on that subject? 60 seconds, starting now.
Me?
Yes, you.
OK. Many years ago, I was trying to attract somebody's attention, and I wondered about the best way of doing it. Of course, it depends under what circumstances you're trying to attract someone's attention. If you're on a boat that's sinking in the middle of the sea, then you need a flare that goes up into the sky. I don't mean sort of rather unsightly trousers, but something that bursts in the heavens in a colourful way. That is possibly the best way of attracting somebody's attention when you are in that marine environment. If you are sitting in a remarkably looking, beautiful cinema here in Berkhamsted and you want to catch somebody's attention, all you do is you shine a light in their eyes. It happens, if it helps, if you've got a torch.
Clement. Clement Floyd, you challenge. What was your challenge?
Hesitation.
No, funny, no. It wasn't, was it, Nicholas? No.
Definitely not. No, he was going in fine style.
Yeah.
You have a point, of course, for an incorrect challenge, Paul. You keep the subject. There are 26 seconds available. How to attract someone's attention. And don't do any gags on it now, please, because I can't cope with any more. And you start now.
Ouija boards are actually quite a good way of attracting somebody's attention if they have passed on. For example, Charlie Chaplin, whose face I see adorn one of the posters outside this beautiful little building, was once...
Clement challenge.
Repetition of beauty.
Yes, you did say beautiful cinema.
Did I?
You get a point for that, of course. You take the subject and you have 15 seconds to tell us something about how to attract someone's attention, starting now.
Dropping down dead is a pretty safe way. Very seldom could you meet a quick demise without somebody noticing and saying, "Hey, look at him."
No wonder they paused, because they were dead. Right. So, Linda, you challenged.
Not hesitation.
Yes, I was. I thought someone should take his pulse, really.
Yeah, I definitely agree with hesitation. And, Linda, you've cleverly got him with 2 seconds to go on the subject, and you start now.
How to attract someone's attention is very...
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point on this occasion. It was Linda Smith. She has 2 points. So is Paul Merton. Clement has one. Kit has yet to speak. And Kit, will you take the next round? We bring you in right away with a subject here, which I don't know whether you can go on or not. It's called Good Cop, Bad Cop. I don't know what it means, but I've heard it so many times, and perhaps you can tell us all, starting now.
Good cop, bad cop is precisely the sort of stereotypical pigeonholing that the police force is trying to escape from at the moment. What about follically challenged cop? Or vertically obsolete cop? Or cop...
vertically obsolete.
No, I don't think that makes sense.
Doesn't mean
it's
anything,
a very metaphysical thought, isn't
means
it?
Means they haven't stood up for a long time.
Yeah. No, incapable of standing.
They're undercover.
Yeah. Underground.
No, I think it's deviation from sense as we understand.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely,
definitely.
Paul. So you have a point, you have 46 seconds. Tell us something about good cop, bad cop, starting now.
Well, apparently it's one of those things that the police do. They have somebody who's a good cop and a bad cop. So the good cop says to you, now, come on, you know that I believe...
Linda, you challenged first.
A hesitation.
Yes, all the fingers went on buzzers. Your light came on first. So you have the subject and you have 36 seconds. Good cop, bad cop, starting now.
Good cop, bad cop is something that happens in TV series. It's usually played as bad cop, good cop, actually, the other way around. However, if you have a burglary in your house, you won't get good cop, bad cop, or even bad cop, good cop. You'll get stupid cop and brain dead cop. Around your home. I quite enjoy the convention of good cop, bad cop, where one comes in and pretends to be your friend and says, well, you know, why don't you...
Clement Challenge.
Two wells.
Oh. Yes, you had a well before, yes.
Yes.
Clement, you got
bang
it
to
nice
rights. Well, I'll go quietly.
No, you did very well, And the good cop... Anyway, 9 seconds, Clement. It's with you, good cop, bad cop, starting now.
If you are a Liverpool Football Club supporter, there's only one cop, and it's neither good nor bad. It is terracing from which you...
Speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that extra point for doing so, and Paul Merton, Linda Smith and Clement Freud are equal in the lead, and followed by Kit Hesketh-Harvey. Linda, will you take the next round? A very apt subject for this beautiful little cinema here. Well, it's quite a large one, actually. 350,000, and he said... It's 350
people.
I
wouldn't want to sell choc ices there.
No. It's the silver screen. What a lovely phrase. Talk about it in this game starting now.
The silver screen. From my earliest days, I've adored the silver screen, by which I mean, of course, the cinema. I used to love Saturday morning pictures, going along with my chums to the Erith Classic, waiting in a queue outside, absolutely jacked up on Payne's Poppets and Kiora Orange, the receptacle for which had a delightful way of imploding on itself if you sucked the straw hard enough. And then by blowing, you could shoot it out to the front row and hit another child on the head. It was delightful. Then...
Kit Challenge.
I'm sorry, I think we've had two delightful.
No, don't think so.
No.
Do
we
not? No. Linda has a point for an incorrect challenge. She keeps the subject. 28 seconds, Linda. The silver screen starting now.
The manager of the aforementioned establishment would come onto the stage in front of the silver screen, dressed as some amusing animal like a comedy lion or something of that nature.
Clement Challenge.
Two somethings.
Correct challenge and a point. 16 seconds for you. The silver screen starting now.
I've never actually seen a silver screen. They tend to be made of linen or cotton or cardboard and occasionally other materials. But silver, gold would be brilliant, though more expensive. Platinum.
Paul, you challenge.
Well, he's moved away from silver screen and talking about gold screens and platinum screens, but not silver screen. So
well,
it's
no, I mean, it's a debatable point, Paul, but when you think of it, I mean, the silver screen to us means the cinema screen, but, you know, he was talking about a screen with silver,
gold,
and so forth. Yes, but why not? I mean, it's another
way... So you think talking about a gold screen is the same as talking about a silver screen?
No, I think in the cinema you only have one silver screen.
Yes.
But you could have a screen, it could be gold, it could be alabaster, it could be a screen...
It could be what? Alawat?
It's a very good decision. No, I think.
It could be a screen of different kinds,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely.
So he has a correct, incorrect challenge, another point, and half a second still left for you, Clement. Silver screen starting now.
Silver screen starting now.
So at the end of that round, Clement Freud was again speaking as a whistle winner with extra points. He's now taken the lead over the others. And Clement, it's also your turn to begin. The subject now is chasing rainbows. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Vibgeor is not a word on everyone's lips, but stands for violet, indigo, blue, green, yellow, orange, red, which are the colours of the rainbow. If you saw The Wizard of Oz, which is a brilliant film and would fill this excellent cinema, there's a song which goes somewhere over the rainbow.
Linda challenged.
Two rainbows.
Yes, but it's in the subject.
Rainbow.
But it's chasing rainbows is the subject. Somewhere over the rainbow. Ah, two singulars.
Two singular rainbows.
Yes, two singular rainbows.
Very subtle. She was waiting for that. Wasn't
yes.
She knew it was going
waiting.
To happen.
Yes, that's yeah. experienced player
like
of the game.
A tigress. Oh.
But rainbow is included in rainbows.
I know, but you've never come up with that particular point before, Clem. I'm not going to do it this time. 39 seconds. Chasing rainbows, starting now.
Chasing rainbows is a delightful subject, which I like to hear Clement Freud talking about at length. I myself have very little to...
Paul challenged.
Well, then why did you challenge him?
What's your challenge?
Well, it's deviation. I like to hear Clement talking about this subject and then buzzes
oh,
straight away.
I don't
away.
Know that it is, really.
No, she's not deviating, because she can still talk
I'm
on
still
chasing, rainbows
chasing rainbows
and says she'd like to hear Clement or you or anybody talk about the subject.
He's okay. Not that good a chairman.
No. You go off people so rapidly, don't you, yeah. Clever? Right. So that was an incorrect challenge. We enjoyed your interruption, Paul.
Did you? Oh, that's
so
nice.
A bonus point to you.
It wasn't
for that.
Wasted then.
And it wasn't wasted, no. But Linda has another point, and she has the subject chasing rainbows. You have 32 seconds, Linda, starting now.
Paul Merton, I'm less keen to hear on the subject now after that interjection.
Clement challenge.
Repetition of subject.
Subject, you see.
Oh, very good.
Before,
you see, very
right
good.
Back. So I'm a good chairman again, Clement, because I listened and I heard the subject twice, and you did as well. 28 seconds for you, chasing rainbows, starting now.
That's where dreams that I dream of really do come true. Chasing rainbows is another word for pursuing a target which is nominally beyond your reach. Unlike tilting at windmills, which is pointless and useless, also obsolete, and I'm sure the 60 seconds should be up fairly. Because I find this a...
Deviation, then, not.
Deviation from fact, yes. It's quite a subtle challenge.
No, I think he is a very good chairman.
Yes.
No, I think...
So on that basis, with Clement's generosity, we give you Chasing Rainbows, Kit, 4 seconds, starting now.
The Fantasy Impromptu by Chopin had lyrics set to it in C-sharp minor. I'm always chasing rainbows.
Right, so Kit was then speaking as the whistle went. Gained an extra point for doing so, thank goodness, because he's now starting to move forward and the others are ahead of him. Paul, your turn to begin. The subject is In the Mood. 60 seconds on that subject, starting now.
Well, of course, it was a Glenn Miller tune, and Joe Loss and his band had it as their theme music for many years.
Kit challenge.
Repetition of dad, dad, dad.
No!
It was a repetition of did.
I didn't write the music. I can't help that.
I half thought he went diddle.
Yeah, I did, actually.
Like
yeah.
Diddle as a whole word.
But
yeah.
After that, it was da.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're the musician.
Did. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah, definitely it was a repetition. And, Kate, you have the subject, and you have 53... Oh. I'm sorry, those are the rules, sir. And I have to be fair, within the rules, 53 seconds, Kit, In the Mood, starting now.
I so wish Paul Merton had the subject back, because I don't know very much about...
And Paul challenge.
What's all this about people wishing that somebody had the subject? But they're the people who challenge and get the subject.
I know,
it's so it's deviation again. I wish
it's
Paul Merton had the
because
subject.
Because that's got nothing to do with In the Mood.
But this is, you know, the human condition, isn't it? More tears over answered prayers.
Yes.
You've
suddenly
deep. Changed the whole mood
well,
of the show.
Well, just a philosophical note.
That was
thought for the day, and now back to just...
So, Paul, we give you the benefit of the doubt, give you 50 seconds In the Mood with you again, starting now.
Ba-da-da-dee-dee-da-da-da-da. Oh, not again. Sure.
Yeah.
repetition of D there.
Yes, D and bar. You definitely repeated it. Right. 48 seconds. Back with you, kid. In the mood, starting now.
He doubled his saxophone with his clarinets, which is what's so clever about the orchestrations of that particular author of this song. And he was killed, I think, in a plane crash, wasn't he, above...
Clement Challenge.
They found him in a brothel.
Oh, did they...
According to the press reports of the time, he was killed in a plane crash, and that's how everybody believes him. I think we give you the benefit of the doubt, kid, and say that 38 seconds is still for you in the mood, starting now.
I long to know which airline it was he was flying with that has in-flight brothels, because that would really pass the time of the day more effectively than a film.
Paul Challenge.
Well, we know it wasn't Virgin.
So what I do on those occasions when we get interjections like that, I give a bonus point. But Kit was interrupted, so he gets a point for that, and he keeps the subject in the mood. Kit, with you, starting now.
Mr. Whatchacallin, what you doing tonight? Hope you're in the rude.
Clement Challenge.
Repetition of what?
Mr. Whatchacallin, what you
doing? You're quite right.
Yes.
How clumsy of that lyricist.
Yes. Right, so Clement, you have in the mood. 30 seconds, starting now.
In the mood is a foxtrot. Slow, quick, slowly, slower, quicker, quickly, quickest. I used to do this quite often in my dancing days, which are now long gone, at a cinema which was then a dance hall. And what fun we had. That's all.
Paul, Charles.
A dignified stop.
Yes. Hesitation, yes. So you got in with 10 seconds on In the Mood, starting now.
I used to play trumpet, in fact, when I was a very young boy, and I can still remember the opening notes to In the Mood. I don't know if you can, but it went something like this. Yes. All together now, one, two...
So, Paul Martin speaking as a whistle, Wayne Gain, that extra point. He's still in the lead. He's one ahead of... no, Clement Freud's in the lead. He's one ahead of Paul Merton. But Kit Hesketh-Harvey has caught up with Linda Smith in third place.
Ooh.
Yes. And by the way, surely In the Mood is a quick step and not a foxtrot. Thank you very much. The audience agreed with that.
If only we'd known.
What's that?
If only we'd known, we could have leapt ahead.
You could have challenged Clement Freud and got a lovely point on the subject back, couldn't you?
Right. I could have danced differently if I'd known.
Kit, it's your turn to begin. The subject is my fans. Tell us something about my fans, starting now.
There's a perfectly lovely building at the foot of Croom's Hill in Greenwich, SE10. Two Georgian establishments knocked together, a museum of fans. It contains about 3,000 of them. I offered to donate my own paltry collection of the same article, one I picked up in Malaga off a torrent...
Toreador.
I got a bit, yes.
You got a little bit in the matadors and the toreadors.
I did, one does.
Right.
It's the heat.
Linda, you challenge first. What was it? I need to know, just in case I disagree.
It was any number of things, really.
I know. Nicholas. Hesitation.
Seems so long ago now. Well, anyway, it was hesitation, is what it was,
right.
Nicholas.
You have my fans, Linda, and you have 41 seconds starting now.
My fans. I like to think of my fans as sophisticated, intelligent, witty, rather soignee people who swan about and look very elegant. However, when I meet them, they very often have a tendency to wear Star Wars sweatshirts tucked into their trousers. This somewhat destroys the illusion. However, it doesn't make them any less charming to speak to. And it's always a pleasure to encounter such people. I don't wish...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes.
Have we? Oh,
yes.
Well, you can't have too many people, Paul.
No. Well, you can in just a minute if you use the word again. So, Paul, you have my fans. You have 13 seconds starting now.
The audience were with me all the way, but I managed to throw them off at the station. It was an old remark made by Michael Bentine, and I, when I was growing up, imagined what my fans would be like, and now that I look out on this magnificent auditorium, I can see just what a ropey old lot...
And Paul, as you said that, one of them got up and left.
Yeah.
But you
tell her friends how much he's enjoying it.
I know. You were speaking as the whistle went, so you gained that extra point. You've now taken the lead, one ahead of Clement Freud, a little ahead of the other two. And Linda, your turn to begin. The subject now is a needle in a haystack. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
A Needle in a Haystack is the title of a rather nice song by a group called the Velvets, Motown artists, and they recorded this item in 1964. It was penned by Norman Whitfield, who wrote so many fine...
Kit, you challenged first.
I'm sorry, there was a hesitation.
There was a hesitation, so Kit, you
but
have
they
a subject.
So much.
They did. I had no idea it was a Motown number.
No, did I. But this is what happens in just a minute.
It
we
is.
Learned so
it
much.
Is. It's a musical
45 seconds with you, Kit. A Needle in a Haystack, starting now.
It's a perfectly stupid place to look for a needle, if you think about it. Much more sensible to go to your sewing box or possibly to your local drug dealer. The,
Well, you might pause after that. So, Linda, you were first in with a buzzer.
Yes, just a little hesitation.
Yes, there was. He collapsed, actually. 35 seconds. A Needle in a Haystack. Back with you, Linda, starting now.
A Needle in a Haystack. The most important thing to remember about needles is not to share them. So if you encounter one in a haystack, keep it to yourself. That's the main thing. I think the expression generally means that something's very difficult to find.
Poor challenge.
There was an err there.
There was an err.
Yeah, I meant there to be, actually.
Oh, yes. You succeeded.
Yeah.
You succeeded, but it wasn't valuable in just a minute, because it means it's hesitation. And, Paul, you have the subject. 18 seconds. A Needle in a Haystack, starting now.
If you were to look for Nicholas Parsons in the middle of the Gobi Desert, that would be akin to searching for a needle in a haystack.
Linda, challenge.
You'd see the cravat.
You would see that from a mile off, wouldn't you?
Well, space, on the other hand, probably. Linda, what Paul said was not deviation from the rules of just a minute, but what you said the audience enjoyed. So we give you a bonus point for that. Paul... Paul gets a point for being interrupted. He has 10 seconds more on A Needle in a Haystack, starting now.
Of course, one wonders how did this particular implement find itself in a haystack in the first place? Was there some kind of accident in a sewing shop where perhaps a burglar...
Clement Challenge.
I haven't said anything for long
time. No. Gone deaf.
Well, Clement, the audience enjoyed your interjection there, so give him a bonus point. But Paul was interrupted. This is endorsed by the audience. Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. And you've got half a second left on A Needle in a Haystack, Paul, starting now.
A pork pie.
So Paul's increased his lead at the end of that round, including one for speaking as a whistle, when Clement's in second place, and then Linda Smith and Kitessa Harvey in that order. And Clement, back with you to begin. The subject, the best excuse I ever had. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
When I was a Member of Parliament and drove home or to my constituency, I was frequently stopped by police who decreed that I was going too quickly. And I made the excuse that I was speeding for no other reason than to go to Westminster in order to vote for a pay rise for policemen. And it went extremely well. They said it's 3 a.m. in the morning, and I said, yes, we work all hours. There's no stopping us. And we believe that you chaps are the most underpaid persons, and you're so good-looking, and may I have your autograph? And for years, I never got a ticket for anything. My driving license is wholly free of impediments, points, notes, letters, figures, numbers, numerals. And I'm very glad to be here in Berkhamsted tonight because Graham Greene came from here. I met him in Napoule in the south of France, where he was called...
happened for a while. Somebody took the subject to begin with and went the full 60 seconds without interruption, without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And he not only gets a point for speaking as a whistle went, but a bonus point because you did the full 60 seconds. But you're still in second place, Clement. You're two behind Paul Merton and you're three ahead of Linda Smith and Kit Hesketh-Harvey. Oh, we're moving into the last round, I've just seen. We've no more time. Kit Hesketh-Harvey, it's your turn to begin. And let's give you the situation as we go into the final round.
Oh,
well, Paul Merton has a lead, but he's only three ahead of Clement Freud, and he's four or five ahead of Linda Smith and Kit Hesketh-Harvey in that order. Kit, the subject now is Cupid.
Cupid.
Tell us something about Cupid, that enchanting character in this game, starting now.
Cupid fell in love with Psyche and came to her at night in the darkness and left by morning. How like a man?
Clement Shums.
Disgusting.
I was shocked, were you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, by him leaving before morning.
Yeah, this is a family show. Nicholas will have letters.
Yeah.
It's in the myth, isn't it?
That's a myth, but I think most of us have experienced it.
I think so. I think you've been largely responsible, Nicholas, in your time, right. You wicked old Lothario.
Right, no, it was not a challenge of any substance. And you have another point, Kit, and
God,
it's...
No,
you have 53 seconds. Cupid starting now.
And she became very interested in what he might look like, so she lit her torch, which in those days wasn't an ever-ready battery affair, but the thing of oil and wick, and she spilt boiling unguent onto his shoulder. He yelped and ran away and fled, and ever since then she has been wandering all over the world under Venus's harsh diktat, looking for her lost love, who nowadays is represented largely as a small boy with cherubic cheeks and little wings, causing havoc with his quiver of arrows, lead ones for dirty, down, dusty love, and golden ones for the more virtuous variety, which is that which I feel for Linda Smith as she sits here on my right. I'm now beginning to flounder, but I can feel the darts piercing my heart as I hope I'm heading towards the 60-second finale, because Lord knows I do need these points, and if Cupid is up there, shall I?
Started with the subject and continued in spite of interruptions to the end, still had the subject and brought the end of the show, brought the show to an end, I should say, with a flourish. And he got a deserved round of applause, but he still finished in fourth place. I'm so sorry. There's no justice or fairness in this game, but that's how it works. Kit, great value, but lovely to have you with us, and thank you for the Cupid. And just ahead of him was Linda Smith in third place, and just ahead of her was Clement Freud in second place. But out in the lead, a few points ahead of Clement, was Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, you are the winner this week. So say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Linda Smith, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score. She's blown her whistle with such charm every time the 60 seconds elapsed. We also thank our producer, who is Claire Jones. We are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And also, we're grateful to this lovely audience here at the Rex Cinema in Berkhamsted, who have been drinking themselves solid out in the theatres. But in spite of that, they managed to pick up some of the humour and wit and enjoy themselves as they just... They're all stoicious, I can tell you, but they're enjoying it. And we've had a wonderful time. I hope you have too. From them, from me, Nicholas Parsons. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.